Appreciate the Christ-honoring music this morning. And I hope the ushers have counted everybody that we can get. Anybody bring a dog outside? Got a dog hanging out? I noticed last night at the football game last night, somebody had one of these. It looked like a normal, you know, a normal bag, you know, normal tote bag, but it had like mesh on top of it, and there was a dog inside there at the football game. And yeah, so I guess you can bring your dog to the football game now. Yeah, it was A&M. Yeah, it may have been. Anyway. But anyway, so if you've got a dog outside, we want to make sure that gets counted. They're going to call us here at about... Did I say something wrong? I'm all right. They're going to call us here in about a minute. When we were in the contest with our home church, Grayson Bible Baptist Church in Sherman, and we were in a tennis contest. I guess we're still getting it, still getting the count. We're close. Brother Hokett will be running in here in a minute. He'll have a final count. We are going to go ahead and have the rodeo outside, so I'm going to go ahead and warn you. It's not too bad, and so we're going to go ahead and have the games, and we're going to shorten it a little bit, and we won't have quite as many games for the kids, but we're going to have just a couple of games for the kids, and then we're actually going to do the short service, and then have the strings, the Heritage Strings sing for us, and then have a couple of more games, and that will be it for the afternoon, okay? So we'll eat after this, have our chili cook-off and soup cook-off, we'll eat, and then we'll step out there about 12:45, or maybe sooner if we can, and start the games, and then have a couple of games for the kids, have the shootout. I'm looking forward to that. I am. And then have a short service, and then have a couple of more games for the kids, and then no evening service tonight. So I want to just encourage you to hang out. There are bleachers out there to sit on, and especially I would encourage you not to walk this way to there, but go out the other door and walk over to it. There's not a whole lot of mud that way. In fact, there's very little, and you should be fine. The kids, on the other hand, will have fun in the now cow lot. And so, but what a rain. We needed the rain, but it does seem like every time we want to do something special to church, it rains. And it's kind of the way our fall is gone. There he is. All right, y'all expecting me to do this right. Hang on. Do we have a count yet, Brother Roy? Hello?
Hey.
Yes.
Just a second. Let me get my figure file. Are you ready?
No, hang on. We haven't got our figures yet. We're still counting.
Now listen, we're not giving you all day to make up numbers. we're still counting. Because...
We're still rounding up.
Yeah.
We got a. Yeah, we have five cows out in the lot out front. We counted all the dogs too. Hang on, we still our chief bottle washer's not back here yet. How many did y'all get? You won't tell me? What do you say? We got more, five more than we got.
I called you, so you gotta tell me first.
No, I don't think so. We had to say it at the same time, but I still haven't got our number yet. Hang on, we're still waiting. Ought to be real close. Sorry about this. We wanted to make sure because.
I start off with a five.
Do what? Starts off with a five. Ours will not start off with a five. If yours is a five, you've got it.
Ours will. We're deducting 50 from you because you don't have your numbers ready.
Ours will start with a four, probably. Four, I would say.
Ours starts off with a five, but it's in the middle.
It's in the middle. You don't want me to guess? Let me guess. Nope, we still haven't got it. He's still getting it. Hang on. I'm going to say we're three. I'm guessing now. I'm just going to guess. We don't need a real number. We're just going
to
guess.
I'm not coming to make you yard off or guess.
Just keep telling. You know a joke or anything? I can't tell a joke or I'd tell one. Y'all had how many? How many did you have? How many did you have?
354.
354.
Yeah.
I think we'll beat you. No, I'm serious. I was guessing about 410, but let's get it back and see where we're at. You have to hang with us. I'm sorry. There's somebody running to try to catch
with
us.
Wait, the whole service waiting on you. Are you sure you're in the four?
274 in Sunday school. We're going to, I tell you what, it may be close. It's going to be close. I don't know ties on this thing. I'm sorry. Hang on. We're still. Okay. We'll deduct at least 50. I know. We don't want Brother Hokett, though, to mess the count up. Oh, there he is. All right. That's all right. Hang on. Here he comes. Yay! Oh, man. Really? Couldn't find three more people? How many ladies we have expecting in here? One. Anybody else? Don't we have a couple? Brother Mosley. All right, hang on. You ready for this? We had 397.
397?
Yeah.
If we'd have had the 50, we'd been close.
So we beat you guys. 397. All right, we'll look forward to the aftermath. All right, brother. Y'all have a good service. All right, bye-bye. All right.
Amen.
Yeah. Three more people with the 400. I said we'd be close. For those of you who are visiting who don't know what just happened, our church started about 13 years ago, coming up on 13 years. And we were started out of the Grace of Bible Baptist Church in Sherman. So they're our mother church. Of course, 6 months after we started, we became an independent church, no longer a mission. We were only a mission church for 6 months. And so we still have a relationship with them. We're glad of that. Man, we ought to have a relationship with our home church. And what a blessing they've been. We borrowed all sorts of stuff from them. That's the actual, great thing about it. We borrowed much equipment from them over the years. And so their new pastor now is Roy Webster, who's a friend of mine. And so they challenged us to attendance contest today, and we beat them.
Hey.
It's like, do a cartwheel. Hang on. I can do one. How many of the finance team, our deacons, want me to do this? We have workman's comp. The reason why they're chanting about the cartwheel, because about three times in our history I've done a cartwheel after some major event. All right, so I think we've done it three times before. I think Miss Linda wants me to do it down there, which would be better. Y'all make sure that ends up on the website, would you? When I first got into ministry, God bless, I pastored a couple of country churches, small churches, then God led us to Lakeland Baptist Church and City Church. And for a few years at Lakeland, I kind of put on the show, you know. And some of you may not think that, but I did, you know, kind of not myself. And for the last 13, 14 years, I've been exactly myself. I am not dignified at all. Don't call me Reverend anything. And anyway. Good stuff, amen. It's good fun. And that's what I told the staff when we first started this. I said, we just want to have fun. We really didn't. Brother Webster gave away all sorts of stuff today. They gave away a 52-inch screen TV and a bunch of other stuff. We gave away candy to the kids. I'm not saying we won't ever give stuff away again, because we have done that in the past, but you know what? It's just about inviting people and loving people. And doing something like this is fun. And I'm looking forward to Brother Webster mowing our yard. Because that was the other pastor had to mow the other church's yard. They have 11 acres. We have 17 acres. Though I would tell you that Brother Latta, for some reason, had mercy and mowed the front yard. I'm not sure why that happened, but wherever Brother Latta's at. But anyway, but we'll. I'm talking about this acreage out here, this about 2 or 3 acres out here. And so anyway. All right, let's see if I can get to breathing again. We'll go. I've been working out for 6 months. And it's helped a little bit. John chapter 10. It is burning hot in here. Is it burning hot in here? John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We've been teaching on standing firm on the promises, and I'll never forget when we were trying to get into this building, the first building over here, and it was not going very well at all, and it was a tough time for our church, about 4 years from the time we hired the architect to the time we actually got in the building, and it was just tough, it really was, and one of these songs we took on as our theme song for a couple of years there was Standing on the Promises of God, and every time I think about it, the promises, I think about the first building we built. As a church, I'm saying, when I think about the promises of God and how God saw fit to take us through some trials, but through those trials, we saw a great victory as well. And I'm telling you, we can stand firm on His promises. We can stand firm on the promises of His guidance. Aren't you glad that He leads and guides us? I'm glad as a Christian that my purposes are set and that I can depend upon God to guide me in my life. And I'm standing firm on His promises. Today, we're going to stand firm on the promises of life. Jesus used several different I ams in the Bible. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. He talked about, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He's talked about, I am the bread of life. There are many ways in which He illustrated His purposes and His work among us. And one of those, again, is I am life. I am life. In John chapter 10, let's read a portion of this, and because we've taken some time, I may not read it all, but let's start in verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him that porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So Jesus is giving us a story to illustrate for us spiritual truths, or biblical truths. He spake unto them, but they understood not what thing they were which he spake unto them. Verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And verse 10 is our theme verse, or our main text this morning. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. That he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, but because he is an hireling and cometh not for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep have I which are not of this fold. Them also I might bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Verse 18, no man taketh it from me, talking about his life now, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Let's pray. Lord, bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. As we think about this particular chapter, and we could go over the whole parable we want this morning. I've spoke on, I am the door before a couple of times. I want to just emphasize this morning where he says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Christ is our life. By the way, life comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we live in a world that is crooked. We live in a world today that is perverse. And I'm telling you, we need the light of life. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in Christ. If Christ be our life, then we can have joy. We can have happiness during this life now. I love that when he emphasized that he came to give life and to give life more abundantly. See, I want to remind Christians this morning that Jesus Christ not only came to give us eternal life, but he came to give us abundant life now. That the benefits of being saved, or the benefits of having Jesus Christ as Savior, is not just heaven. And I'm thankful for that. I'm looking forward someday for the trumpet to sound and to be resurrected or to be raptured out of here and to meet the Lord in the air and to live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to no more pain, no more sickness, no more death. I'm looking forward to spending eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. But can I tell you, in the now, in the life that we now have, the life that we now live, this life, that we can live a life of joy. That life was not meant to be endured, it was meant to be enjoyed. Just as our kids are not meant, just as having kids and raising kids, that was not meant to be endured, it was meant to be enjoyed. Just as our marriages were not meant to be endured, our marriages were meant to be enjoyed, this life was meant to be enjoyed. I hope that you're enjoying this life. If you're not, Jesus says that He came to give you life and to give you that joyful life, to give you an abundant life. And you can have that through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, number one, gives us natural life. Can I tell you that He is the one, though we know what the man provides, we know what the woman provides, and as they join in union, we know what happens, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ, is God, who provides a spark that brings life. In Him, the Bible said, is the light of life. In the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of life, John says. And we can go into the when life happens, and I believe it happens at conception, the Bible makes that clear, and Jesus Christ gives that life. Our natural condition, when we are born to this world, our natural condition is that we are born alive. We have to be born alive, or yet we don't live. But can I tell you, we're born to this life spiritually dead. The body is made up, or this life is made up, of three parts. The body, the soul, and the spirit. The body is this natural part, this tent. The Bible calls it a tent, or this temple that we are in. But it's only there, it's housing the soul and the spirit. The soul and the spirit. Now the Bible says that that soul is that personality part of us. That soul is that part of us that is our being. It's who we are. And then there's the spirit. The spirit is that part within us, the Bible describes, that is dead when we are born into this world. We are dead. The Bible says, ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. We are born spiritually dead. So think of that for a moment. The body, that's this body that we live in. I've been working on mine. 6 months I've been working out, and that took me out of my breath. I think I'll go back to what I was doing. Nothing. Just forget it. And this body, the Bible says this is the body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to take care of it. And I'm trying to do a better job of that. The body, the soul is our personality. It's who we are. Amen? Some of us are more unique than others. I'm not sure. I know the whole story about what Miss Forte was doing this morning with that big old flyer on her head. But again, a unique soul there. All right? Would pick on Leland, but we don't have time. The soul, and Miss Bobby, you guys, all you guys in that corridor, I could spend some time on y'all, but we won't. The body, the soul is who we are, and then the spirit. The Bible describes, not just in Ephesians that I just read, that I just quoted to you, but the Bible describes that spirit as being dead. That in every person who's born in this world, there is a void, a spiritual void, a spiritual chasm, a spiritual hole. And that is because the spirit is born dead. Ye who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, Listen, the Bible says, you who were dead in trespasses and sin, hath He quickened by the Holy Spirit. When I accept Christ as my Savior, that Spirit is quickened. It's made alive. Amen. It comes to life. See, many people try to quicken the Spirit, or many people try to make the Spirit alive by various means. Some use alcohol, some use drugs, some use the pleasures of this life, whatever that may be. But can I tell you, the only true fulfillment, the only one who can truly fill the void in your life, the only one who can quicken that Spirit is the Lord Jesus Christ. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, we understand that and we know that, and the Bible speaks of that. It's another thing to understand that the Lord is the one who fills that void. It's the Lord who gives that Spirit life. The body, the soul, and the Spirit. The soul and the Spirit, the Bible says in Corinthians, that the soul and the Spirit never die. When I pass from this life to the next, my soul and spirit will be in eternity in heaven. Amen? My body will be reunited one day when the trumpet sounds, but my soul and my spirit never die. Amen? There's life after death, folks. This is not it. This is not the end. If you were to die today, the Bible describes for only two places you go, and that is heaven or hell. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, that's for those who are saved, those who have life, those who have spiritual life. And the opposite is just in effect for those who do not have life. And that is, the Bible says, you know, to be absent from the body is to be in hell. There's no intermediate spots. There's no between spots. There's no people turning into ghosts. That is all myth. It's not found in the Bible anywhere. When be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The soul and the spirit never die. The natural life. We are born spiritually dead. The analogy the Bible gives us on that is just like a seed. I had the opportunity for years to spend life on a farm in the summers and also spring break and winter breaks and everything else, and planted lots and lots of stuff. It's amazing to me how a little okra seed that is just so tiny can turn into such a wonderful plant that you can eat. But that seed is dead. There are times that my grandparents and my great-grandparents would keep the seed up in a little, they had a little barn there in one particular spot that kept corn and they kept other seed. And they could keep it there for years. And they'd pull that seed out, go plant it, and it would grow. The seed is dead. With a little water, a little dirt, it comes alive. Isn't that amazing? Scientists are still trying to figure it out. And can I tell you that we are dead in trespasses and sins. But with the water of the Word and the Holy Spirit of God, our spirit becomes alive as we place our trust in Jesus Christ, in Him alone. Spiritual life. John said it this way. He said, in Him, talking about Jesus, in Him we have life. And the life was the light of man. John 11:25 says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Christ is our life. Christ is our life. John 5:24, Jesus said Himself, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 5, verse 24, in Jesus' own words, are passed from death unto life. They shall not come into condemnation. Those who have passed from death into life will not see hell. They will not see the wrath of God upon sin. But they shall have the light of life. What a truth. What a promise. And let me remind you again. What he said in John 10, verse 10. He said, I am come that you might have life. And you might have life more abundantly. That's a promise. I'm standing firm on that promise. When Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, I take Jesus at his word. He's promised to give me life if I'll simply put my faith and trust in him. Again, many people are using various ways in which to fill that spiritual void. There are many other methods people are trying to use to fill the void. You know, some people put their trust in a church membership and some put their trust in some baptistry that they were baptized when they were a kid or whatever the case. Some put their faith and trust in good works. They think when you get to heaven that you'll stand before God one day and your good works will be put on one side and your bad works will be put on the other side. And as long as your good works outweigh your bad works, you're gonna enter heaven. That's not what the Bible says. Over and over and over and over again it says, "He that believeth on He have everlasting life." For Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him," it doesn't say has been baptized or has lived good or has been a good parent or has given to the church or given to causes or anything. It says, "He that, but God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should have everlasting life." It's believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:14, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." I know this morning with this big a crowd, there's some here this morning, listen, there has to be, who are dead in trespasses and sins. There's some here this morning who have never seen the light of life. They've never experienced life, real life, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians says, wake up. Wake up. When I think of this particular verse, and I'm going to allude back to the parable in John chapter 10, the parable of the door and the sheep. In the Old Testament, we know, and it's still true today, that the shepherd would take his sheep and put them in a pen, and instead of having a particular door on the pen or the corral that they put their sheep in, the shepherd would actually lay down in the hole or the passageway in which they put the sheep in. He would lay down there. He would actually be the door. It didn't have a gate on the hinge, all right? But the shepherd would be the door. And the shepherd would lead his sheep into that fold or lead his sheep into that corral. And when he went to leave, he would call his sheep to leave that corral. And Jesus is using the analogy or the illustration that He is the door, but not the door to some corral. That He is the door to heaven. And that in order to enter heaven, one must come through the Lord Jesus Christ. In order for one to go to heaven, one must have the light of life. One must accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. He said that He gave His life for the sheep. His Father was pleased because the Good Shepherd gave His life for the sheep. And I love that verse in verse 18. He says, "No man take my life." Get rid of this ideal that the Roman soldiers, you know, grabbed Him and held Him down and put those nails in His hands and put those nails in His feet. They didn't grab and have to hold the Lord Jesus Christ down. Jesus said Himself, "No man takes my life." He willingly gave His life. He laid down His life for His sheep. He laid His life down for us. He gave His life for us. Listen, Jesus Christ was no ordinary man. He was the God-man. The Bible says He was the God-man, that the God of the universe sent His Son down here to die on the cross for us. The God of the universe, that He was just as much God as though He had never been man, and just as much man as though He had never been God. He was the God-man. I think about John chapter 1 and verse 14. The Bible says, and I'm going to turn over and read it, "And the Word was made flesh," capital W-O-R-D, "and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Capital W-O-R-D. The Word was in the beginning. Jesus Christ was in the beginning. He spoke, and the worlds came into existence. The Word, that capital W-O-R-D, Jesus spoke, and the worlds came into existence. Everybody with me? Start doing what Brother Weedo does. Everybody all right? The Word that created the heavens and the earth, that Word, according to John chapter 1, verse 14, became flesh and dwelt among us. The One who created the heavens, the One who created the sun, the moon, and the stars, the One who created the earth and put man and holds all things by the word of His power, that God came to earth, veiled in flesh. That God humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ gave His life for us. His life was not taken. He laid it down for us that we might have life. That we might have life. The Bible describes Jesus Christ as the bread of life. The Bible describes Jesus Christ as living water. And those who will come to Him and drink of Him shall never thirst again. Listen, there's a world out there today who's thirsting. There's a world out there today who's hungry. But that thirsting and that hunger never go away. They're constantly looking for that next appeasement. They're constantly looking for that next happiness. They're constantly trying to, you know, get over that next hump. Can I tell you? You can have peace and contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian. A Christless soul, is a lifeless soul. Christians, I want to remind you today, we're living among the dead. And we need to be telling them about Jesus. Just for a moment, I want to remind Christians that Christ is the substance of our spiritual life. That He is the bread and the water and the meat of life. The Bible says, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live." If we as Christians, as we as born-again believers who have life, are to enjoy abundant life, then we have to continue to feed upon the bread of life and continue to drink from the water of life. This word is important to us. It's our nourishment. As we think about the door, one more analogy and I'm going to be done. In Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says that God looked down upon man and He saw that every thought of man's heart was evil only continually. And God said, "I will destroy man off the face of the earth." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Man, what a man. And God came to Noah and said, "Noah, build me an ark." And Noah built this ark. It was 450 feet long and 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall. A big wooden box. Didn't look like a ship. It was a big box. Had a little rail on top down the middle for a window. Huge, huge boat. Noah made this boat and it was completed after around 100 years. And God said to Noah and his family, "Come into the ark." And Noah and his family, Noah, his wife, his three boys, and their three wives came into the ark. And the Bible says God shut the door. There was only one way into the ark, by the way. That was through the door. By the way, there's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. God said, "Come into the ark." He didn't say, "Go into the ark." He said, "Come into the ark." And God is standing at the door saying, "Come to me. Come to me. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy and heavy laden, I will give you rest." Listen, God wishes and God's hope and God's longing is to have a personal relationship with you. And God told Noah and his family to come to the ark and 7 days, I could just imagine that. There was approximately 2 or 3 billion people on the earth at that time. And here's Noah and his family. And they already called Noah crazy anyway. Hebrews tells us that Noah for that 100 years preached to them. That he was a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher of the law. So for 100 years or so, Noah preached to them. And they called him crazy Noah. "What are you building the ark out here in the middle of nowhere for, Noah?" Noah kept saying, "God's going to send His wrath. You guys better get right with God. God's going to send His wrath. God's going to send rain upon the earth." "No, it's never rained before." See, God watered the earth by using springs under the earth. It had never rained from the sky before. So, preacher, you really believe this stuff? I believe it. The Bible says it. But I encourage you to go to the ICR website. They're now based in Dallas. You can learn a lot of good things about creation and creation scientists. It had never rained before. Never rained. They called Him crazy Noah. The door was shut by God, and then 7 days later, it began to rain. He was no longer crazy Noah. There's stuff falling out of the sky. They had never seen that before. I can tell you right now, it wasn't them going around, "Hey, look, it's raining. Noah said it was going to." No, that's not the reaction they had. It was them running towards the boat, them banging on the boat. I could just see for 7 days, them banging on the boat saying, "Noah, let us in! Noah, let us in! Noah, it's raining out here." And I could see as the water began to rise, The water began not for 7 days. I got that mixed up. But Noah, there when it began to rain after 7 days, in just a matter of minutes, the Bible says the fountains of the deep broke up. It wasn't just rain from the sky, but there was volcanic eruptions going on. It was a massive catastrophe. A cataclysm was taking place. And no doubt these people were crying out to Noah, Noah, open the door. Noah, let us in. All day long, all day long. People banging on the door. Noah, let us in. But he couldn't because God had shut the door. And can I tell you, one day the door will shut. One day there will be no longer any opportunity to get saved. One day the trumpet will sound. One day Christ will return. One day it will be too late to accept Christ as Savior. Listen, this morning you have an opportunity this morning to have the light of life. This morning you have an opportunity to come to an old-fashioned altar. Here in a minute, we're going to sing a song, and you can come down here, and one of these men down here will show you from the Bible how you can have the light of life, how you can have eternal life, that you can escape hell and have a home in heaven. Listen, don't put it off. Don't put it off. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. No man knows what tomorrow may bring forth. Listen, you don't know what tomorrow is going to behold. You don't know what's going to happen today when you leave this place. Listen, today is the day of salvation. And can I remind you that it's not just about having a home in heaven, and I'm so thankful for that, but it's having a life here that's worth living. See, there are people today, there are people in this auditorium who are going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to work tomorrow morning. They're going to get up at, was that my phone that went off? Did y'all hear me hollering? Who calls me during the service? So this auditorium, we ought to call them. We won't do it. Must be a missionary. There are people going to get up in the morning. Some of you get up in the morning, go to work at 5 o'clock in the morning. And you're going to work all day. And you're going to ride in that traffic. You're going to ride back home in that traffic. You're going to get home about 6 or 7. And you're going to have supper. And then you're going to go to bed. You're going to get up on Tuesday morning and do the same thing. You're going to get up on Wednesday morning and do the same thing. Thursday morning, Friday morning. And you're going to do that the rest of your life with 3 or 4 breaks every year to take a little vacation. And can I tell you, for you, life is mundane. But can you tell you, I get up in the morning, I say, Lord, help me to live in the Spirit, not the flesh today. And I get to live a life of purpose. I get to live a life of purpose every day. Now, I can't tell you that every day my life is just hunky-dory and you know, I'm floating on cloud 9. But can I tell you, most days, 90% of the days, more than that, I have that unspeakable joy that God gives us every day. I'm glad that life is worth living. I'm glad that I have purpose to live every day. That it's not, my purpose not dependent upon my job. My purpose not even dependent upon my family. My purpose not dependent upon anyone else except the Lord Jesus Christ. And my purpose in life is to glorify Him. That's it. I have one purpose. To glorify my Savior. And by the way, if He's first in your life and you're trying to glorify Him, everything else kind of works its way out. If I'm trying to be what Christ wants me to be, then I'll be a good daddy. If I'm trying to be what Christ wants me to be, I'll be a good father, a good husband. If I'm trying to be what Christ wants me to be, I'll be a good employee or employer. If I'm trying to be what Christ wants me to be, I'll be a good friend. I'll be a selfless neighbor. If I'm trying to glorify Him. And then by glorifying Him, I'll have abundant life. Life is worth living. If found and if in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you possessed tonight today with bodily life? Nobody in here is dead, right? I'm glad you're alive. But do you possess spiritual life? Do you have the light of life? I hope today that you know for sure if you were to die, you'd have a home in heaven. We didn't read all that whole passage, but Jesus says later down, He continues to talk about being the good shepherd. The good shepherd give His life for the sheep. Verse 28, He says, "And no man can pluck me out of the Father's hand." I'm glad today that I'm saved eternally. That I don't have to lay down my head tonight and say, "Oh, I said a bad word today, I'm going to hell." No. Once you get saved, you're always saved. I'm glad I'm saved eternally. That God gives us everlasting life. Do you know if you have everlasting life? If you don't, you ought to get that right today. There is hope this morning. And my hope is in the promises of God. I stand firm on the promise that Jesus Christ has said that if I will believe in Him, I will have everlasting life. I stand firm on that promise. I stand firm on the Word of God. I stand firm on the promises of God. Do you believe in His promises? I do. Hebrews tells us if God can lie, then He's no longer God. I stand firm on His promises. Christians, He that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of redemption, until He returns. He's still working on us, conforming us into His image. Let's remember that Jesus Christ came to give life and to give it more abundantly. Let's all stand. Let's all stand, head bowed, and eyes closed for just a moment. No one looking around as the musicians come and we get ready to sing a verse of invitation. This invitation is for you. This is a time and opportunity for you to make a decision or to make some decisions for the Lord. In other words, we're encouraging you. We're asking you to take courage. And if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, this morning you do not have spiritual life, would you step out of your chair in just a minute and come down the front? Someone will show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life. Christian, this morning, can we be reminded that Jesus Christ gives us life more abundant? And maybe today as a Christian, you're not experiencing that life more abundant. Whatever it may be, something has gotten you down. Something has discouraged you. Won't you just come to the altar this morning and lay that at Jesus' feet? So, Lord, I want that life of joy. And He will return that joy to you. Maybe it's coming down and confessing sin or coming down and just accepting something that God has put into your life as His will. And say, Lord, I put my life in Your hands. Whatever your need is, you come after we pray. Lord, we thank You this morning, God, for Your love for us and sending Your Son to die for us. We thank You this morning that we can have eternal life by believing in Your Son and trusting in Him. I do pray for us as Christians that we are reminded and can be reminded this morning of the life that we should be living, the life of purpose and glorifying You and that abundant life. Lord, help us this morning to live for You as we should. In Jesus' name, amen.